there that they had not had a missionary for a long time, and so he had just finished his journey, and he got there, and he preached, and they said, "Would you please preach for us?" And so he stood up, and he preached for about an hour and a half. And he stopped, and he sat down, and the people just kind of sat there, and this one fellow said, "Is that all you got? We've been waiting for years for a preacher. Come on, preach, amen?" Paul preached until they fell out of the windows, amen? You will never get tired of hearing the Lord Jesus Christ talk in heaven. Amen? Have you ever noticed how when you read the Bible, you know, it's like anything else, but maybe especially so, once you start reading, you just don't want to stop. Spend time in your Bible, amen? Amen? Read your Bible. Let the Lord talk to you. We're in Numbers chapter 5 tonight. I'm just going to look at the first 10 verses. I want to break this chapter into two pieces for the sake of structure. But we have been dealing with the camp. The camp and the organization of the camp and the headcount in the camp and the tasks, the jobs that God has given to various people in the camp and the order of march. And God's preparing these people. Numbers is a sad book because Numbers is the book where they had the chance and they didn't take it. And what was their chance? They could believe God. Do you believe God?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Well, God said it, that settles it. And God said, "It's yours for the taking. Take the land." And they didn't believe it because they saw. No, they didn't see. They had some people reported to them, some giants and some problems. And they said, "Oh, we can't do it." Folks, if God says we can do it, we can do it.
Amen.
And but all of these messages on the camp, tonight we're going to look at two or three things about the camp. I'm going to insert one because every good message needs 3 points. But it is a protected camp, and it is a purified camp. Now, what do I mean by camp? God does not intend for us to serve Him alone. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to know something. It is altogether possible. I am not saying it's right, but it is possible for you to get your Bible and walk out your front door and start knocking doors. That's not God's plan. God wants us to go in pairs. Amen?
Amen?
It is altogether possible for you on Sunday morning to get your Bible and to go into your living room, and you could even get you a hymn book and maybe even a recorder or let your wife play the piano or something, and you could sing to the Lord with one or two people, and you could read your Bible and you could pray, but that's not God's plan. He put us in a church.
Amen.
I thank God for our church.
Amen.
I thank God for the privilege of being part of a church.
Amen.
And one of these days when we step into eternity, we're going to realize how blessed we were. Say, "But Pastor, how come our church isn't 500? If God wants it to be 500, then that's what we'll do. But praise the Lord for our church.
Amen?
Amen? Praise the Lord for one another. We're here for each other. We love each other. We pray for each other. We work together and we help each other. And we form a team. And the world has got said too much about that word team. But the Lord calls it church. And I'm glad we have a camp to be part of. And these people had a camp. And God's protecting this camp. And I'll show you two ways He protects it here in just a minute. But let's stand and read the passage first of all. Numbers chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 1 through 10 and then ask God to bless our meager efforts tonight and to bless His Word especially. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female shall ye put out, without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. But if a man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest, beside the ram of atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. And every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hallowed things shall be his. Whatsoever any man giveth the priest, it shall be his. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your goodness to us. Lord, we say those words quite often, but I pray we understand the meaning of them, that you are good to us. We thank you for this church, Vision Baptist Church. Thank you for giving us this church. Thank you that we can assemble tonight, that we can sing to you, and that we can preach and hear the Word of God, and that we can pray, and that we can hear about our missionaries, and that we can be your servants in this place this evening, and that we can worship you. And I do pray that you'd be pleased with what you see. God, we need your power. We need your physical strength. We need your spiritual strength more than that. We need for you to guide our thoughts tonight. We need for you to give us reminders of the goodness that you've shown us by giving us this church and giving us a camp to be a part of. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give us discernment tonight to understand these words in the Bible and how we can apply them to our life, even though they were written so long ago and even in a different situation. But, Lord, help us to apply them properly. Pray that you'd be with folks that cannot be with us tonight. We think of sick folks and traveling folks. Please keep them safe and please comfort them. I pray for folks that need to be here tonight but did not come out, that you would work in their lives and protect them as well and bring them back to us safely. And Lord, we think of the fact that one day you've promised to come back for us. Amen. And you commanded us to pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, as we grow closer to you through years of age, we also grow closer to you in the reality, the realization that we will be with you one day. And Lord, if today would be that day, it would be a wonderful day. But until then, we do pray that you'd just bless us, guide us, work in our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't God good? And I think of the goodness of God. The devil is constantly going to try to defeat you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to tempt you. He's going to do things in your life to cause you to, if he can, to cause you to walk away or step away from God or even pull back just a little bit to doubt God and to not serve God. That's the devil's sole desire. He cannot take away your eternity, but he can do all that is in his power to hinder us in this life. And it does affect our eternity, because when we step into eternity, we're going to give an account for those times when we were not what God asked us to be. I think that there is every reason to be encouraged, because I know God can work through us if we'll let him. Amen. Instead of looking at the ways that you have failed God, pause for a minute and think of the ways that you have served God. Amen? Amen. And then when the devil says, well, what about this? Just tell him, we're working on it. And God's working on it, and I'm working on it. And folks, let's just keep drawing closer to God. Amen. And don't let the devil beat you down. We are a local church, and I remember in Salt Lake City we had this one pastor friend of ours, and if you ask him to come preach, I don't care what the occasion was. If the occasion was just another Sunday, he'd preach on the church. If the occasion was Resurrection Sunday, he'd preach on the church. If the occasion was Christmas or Thanksgiving, he'd preach on the church. And I used to wonder, why does this fellow preach on the church all the time? And it was a bit of a hobby horse for him. But he understood something. Church is important.
Amen.
Folks, I have people tell me all the time, church isn't that important. Well, then why did Christ die for it? And if church is not all that important, then why is it that the entire New Testament is written to churches?
Amen.
And why is it that God gave the church the Great Commission rather than the individual? We, as a local church, are recipients of the Great Commission. And folks, why is it that the devil has attacked the idea of church? He's told some people, well, if you're saved, you're part of the church. No, there is saved and there is church. And it is true, if you're saved, you should be part of a church, amen? But that's a separate decision that you make. And church is important. And I you're going to see this in Numbers over and over and over, the emphasis on the camp. And you know what he's talking about here. We've already seen the structure of the camp and the head count and so on. The camp is the assembly of God's people. And I want to show you three things that God does for that camp tonight. And the first of those is God dwells in the camp.
Amen.
Look at this, if you will. In verse 3, he's giving them instructions about what to do with these folks that are defiled. And it says at the end of verse 3, in the midst whereof I dwell. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst. He's here tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. God lives in my heart. And that's a complicated statement, but it is biblical. God lives in my life. My life is hid in Christ. I live in him. And we've heard some great teaching in Sunday school about that topic over the course of the last few weeks and months. But in the local church, there is a special presence of God. In the work that we do, in the services that we hold, in the ministries that we conduct. This is God's plan. And he promised to dwell in our midst. Amen?
Amen.
Now, because of that, there are two things that he does in this camp that you see here in Numbers chapter 5, and also in churches like ours. And there are other local churches. I'm kind of fond of this one, and I think the Lord is as well. We're going to focus on this camp tonight. But there are two things that he does here, and the first of those is a matter of protection, and the second of those is a matter of purification. Now, when you read the first one, at first glance, it almost sounds a little bit merciless, and I'll explain to you what I mean by that, but it's important. It's what I mentioned this morning. Folks, it is a privilege to be part of a camp.
Amen.
It's a privilege to be part of a church. I have had less than half a dozen, I suppose, I'm guessing, but that's about the right number. Very, very sad instances to where I had to assemble the church and take a vote to remove someone from membership. And it breaks your heart. And if you understand the consequences of it, it really breaks your heart. The one that stands out in my mind the most, I've told you this story. I can't tell you the details for just the sake of time and purity, I guess. But there was an individual in our church in Maryland that committed a very horrible sin. He wound up he's still in prison tonight as a result of that sin. And when we found out what he had done, we had to remove him from our church. And you say, well, why would you have to do that? Why would someone have to be taken out of the church? It's for the protection of the church.
Amen.
Because, folks, again, it's a privilege to be part of a local church. Now, are we all perfect? No. But we better be right. Right with one another, right with God. And there are some things that have to do with the reputation of our church. In other words, the folks that know about Vision Baptist Church ought to know this, and that is, the people that are members of this church, within the limits of our ability, we're right with God. We're not just flaunting God's will or God's commands and doing wicked things and pretending it's all okay. It is important for us to be obedient as a church. Amen? And so there's some protection that takes place in these first four verses. Let me read them to you again, and we'll talk about that just a little bit. He says in verse 2, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp, and then he lists three categories of people. The first of them is every leper. The second of them is everyone that hath an issue. And the other is, whosoever is defiled by the dead. Now, when you preach the Word of God, you got to be real careful. I do not have a license to just tell you what this means and make it up as I go along. That's wicked. And I don't have a license to apply things where they don't apply. And if you ever decide you want to preach Numbers chapter 5, I'll save you some time. None of the commentators have any idea what to do with this. I read two or three fellows this week. Typically, they have a little bit less to say about the verses than the verses say about themselves. And anybody that you read about this is going to point something out to you which is true. It's true about this camp. It's true about our church. And that is, because of the presence of God, it is a unique company of people. Not just anybody can be there. I'll give you a simple example. You can't be a member of a church unless you're saved.
Amen?
Amen? When somebody comes to join our church, one of the things we're going to ask them is, have you received Christ? Another requirement is that you are obediently, and that's a good way to start that sentence, obediently, scripturally baptized. Is it God's will for us all to be baptized?
Amen?
Amen? Be baptized, every one of you, the Bible says. That kind of settles it right there. And so we all ought to be, someone says, well, I'd sure like to be a member of your church, but I never have been baptized. I can take care of that. You can obey the Lord and be baptized. Now, I understand that baptism, even in our day, and I suppose safe to say more so than in days past, baptism can be a problem because it's a public profession that I believe in Christ. And that's not nearly so popular as it used to be. Folks, oh, how wicked is the world getting? I read an article yesterday, I guess it was, Liberty University. Now, what's Liberty University? Liberty University is the school that Jerry Falwell started way back. And so Liberty University, a bunch of students were rioting and throwing a fit because, and I can't think of the name of the people that they were mad about, but because some staff member had decided to raise their granddaughter as a girl, which she was, by the way. That's just not fair, they said. What if she wants to be a boy? You know, I don't know what she wants to be. God made her a girl. Amen? Yeah. Now, when the world is that mixed up that they can't even see God made them male and female, it's going to get ugly, folks. And, you know, the homosexuality argument has kind of come and gone, and now it's be what you want to be, girl or boy or whatever. And I don't know what's next. I just know this. The world will never be happy. And I got to believe this. I think the Lord's going to come back pretty quick.
Amen.
I know we've all been hearing that since we were children. Well, now I'm preaching it. I think he's coming back pretty quick. I hope he is. It sure is getting ugly.
Amen.
But here we go. Oh, by the way, he mentions male and female in this passage even. But the Lord is present in the camp. And most of the commentators will tell you that the reason that God wanted a pure camp is because he dwelt there. I have no problem with that, but I know this. God's not going to catch leprosy. God's not going to catch an issue of blood. God's not going to be affected by those that are defiled by the dead. The reason God wants to protect the camp is because of the other people in the camp. Amen?
Amen.
That's why not just anybody can be a member of a church. That's why that when the fellow in Maryland, another fellow, came to me and said, I'm going to leave my wife, Pastor, because after all, the Bible doesn't really deal with my problem. He was wrong about that. He said, I'm going to leave my wife. And I said, well, I just want you to know something. If you do that, you can't be a part of this church. Another lady came, she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to marry an atheist. I said, if you do that, you can't be a part of this church. Well, Pastor, That's just not kind. No, here's what that is. That's protecting the flock.
Amen.
And the Lord protects these people. Now, again, just think about these things that he names here. And by the way, don't explain the Bible away with practicality. The Bible is practical, but the Bible is also spiritual. God wants a pure camp. God wants us to be a good influence on one another. God wants, you know, we should each be walking so close to God that the other people that we rub up against in the camp would say, I want to be close to God like that person is close to God. I want to have the joy that that person has. I want to have the prayer life that that person has. I want to have the testimony that that person has. I want to have the faithfulness that that person has. We should rub off on each other that way. Amen?
Amen.
And it shouldn't be that, oh, well, here's this person and they've disregarded God's will and they've decided to leave their wife or to do some wicked thing. And it's not a popular thought today. A lot of churches would say, well, just do what you want. God doesn't say do what you want. There's a protection taking place in this camp. Now, I am anything but a physician, but I did a little reading. And I found out something. Leprosy is contagious. Someone says, now, oh, by the way, just interesting facts. And Dr. Jensen can give you the details here. But apparently, the bacteria that causes leprosy, the agent that causes leprosy, was discovered back in the 1870s, and of course the internet knows everything, right? One website said this is the very first bacteria to be identified as causing disease in humans. Is that, you heard that before? I don't know if it makes any difference or not, but we do know this, it's caused by an infection. And we also know this, it can be spread. Now, the good news is today, as of the 1940s, they have a way to treat that infection. And so now leprosy can be treated. But wow, for a long time. If you got leprosy, and you may have read some of the things leprosy can do to a person. It is a horrible, disfiguring, ultimately fatal disease that could be spread by contact. And someone says, well, it only spreads to 1 in 20 people. That's too many for me.
That's right. Amen.
You know, sin is infectious.
Yep.
By the way, in your life and in mine, here's the way it works. You let a little sin in, and the devil says, that's nice, let's try some more. And you let a little more sin in, the devil says, that's nice, let's try some more. And it never stops. You're either getting closer to God or you're getting farther away from God. Young people, look, I know you think that all is well and the world's a safe, happy place. I want you to know something. I've seen too many young lives destroyed because they let a little sin in.
That's right, amen.
A little sin. And we live in a day where there are all these ways of communicating sin. When I was in high school, the closest thing I had to this was a calculator. And it didn't talk to the other calculators. And now today, every child, it seems like, has got one of these, and they can push a few buttons and see wicked, wicked, wicked things.
Right.
And hear and look at their friends doing wicked, wicked things. That's just the infection of sin getting spread around. It's a wicked world we live in. No, folks, God says he's going to protect his camp. Now, I'm fascinated by this list. The leprosy is rather obvious. The issue of blood, again, I'm not a physician, but I understand that there was something to do with the fact that there would be apparently some ongoing bleeding. And what have we learned after all these years? Have you gone to the doctor's office and noticed something? Anything that touches blood gets put in a quadruple wall container with a big red sign on it, keep away, don't touch this. Blood carries disease. And the doctor says, don't touch that or you might get it. I think this is just an easy thing to say. I wish we were one-tenth as afraid of sin as we are of getting a disease. I wish we would wash our hands spiritually the way we wash them physically. I wish that, like the Pharisees, they were very interested in keeping the cup and the outside clean, but inside it was all corrupt and wicked and like dead men's bones. I wish we saw the sin of the world the way we see the infections in the world. You know, we could go Wednesday. So it's been about 10 days now. I got the flu. Oh, I wish I knew where I got that so I wouldn't have been there. If I could go back and relive that day and stay away from that infection, I guarantee you I'd do that because it's been a miserable 10 days. But how much more effective, how much more damaging, how much more painful is the sin in our life? And we'll take extra care to have clean utensils and to wash our hands and to keep our surroundings clean physically. And then we'll let the sin just, we'll turn this little box on in our house and let the sin pour in. We'll give our kids a device so they can push a couple of buttons and let the sin pour in. God says, no, we need to protect the camp. Now, you say, well, what about that poor leper? I know a couple of things about lepers. Number one, God can protect them from that. When God says to do something, rather than second-guessing why God said to do it, just do it. God says, here's someone who's infected. You need to set them aside. Here's someone that's got an issue. Here's someone that has been defiled by a dead body. There again, pathogens and all sorts of bad things there, and they need to be set aside. And it is a picture. It's a reality. It's a protection. But it's also a picture of the fact that we need to keep ourselves clean. And it's a privilege to be part of the camp. And in order to stay in the camp, don't get defiled. It is so sad, even in our church, perhaps people that right now are dabbling with sin at a level that could require that they be removed at some point in time for the protection of the camp. Amen? Now then, that's all kind of dark. This next part is really, interestingly enough, it's a little bit more encouraging, although there's a price involved. We talked about the presence of the Lord in the camp. He dwells there, and for that reason, it should be a clean camp. We talked about the protection of the camp from these infections and certainly the picture there of the damage that sin can cause. But now there is a purification of the camp, and we see that beginning in verse 6. And he says in verse 6, he says, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty. Now, just in a nutshell, by the time you get to the end of verse 6, they did it. There's not a question. Maybe they did it. They did it. And it's apparently a matter which has become public. They did it, and the guilt is known. And it is a sin. And oh, by the way, all sin's against the Lord, isn't it? Amen. When we offend one another, we offend God. The way you treat your neighbor is the way you treat God. The way you love your neighbor is the way you love God. If you say you love your neighbor and you treat him poorly, you're a liar. If you say you love God and you treat your neighbor poorly, you're a liar. When we sin against God. And so the sin is against the Lord, but it's also against the individual. And it sounds like it's pretty clear that there's this trespass that involves some kind of an expense, damages, some cost. And so he says in verse 7, then they shall confess their sin which they have done. Step one on the way to purification is confession. I did it. We don't like to do that, do we? We don't like to do that because it shows others that we failed. It shows others that we're not as special as perhaps we thought we were. Young people especially hate to confess that they did it. We were at the house the other day, and Titus, the middle-aged leader child, pushed his little brother down. And Scott, my brother-in-law, saw it happen, and he saw the whole thing. Titus didn't know my brother-in-law saw the whole thing. And my brother-in-law says to Titus, why did you do that? You can't do that. You need to apologize to him. Oh, Titus says it was an accident. No, no, no. Now we have two problems. Now you're lying to me. But we don't like to admit our sin. It's just natural. Folks, God already knows. And by the way, it's important for us to understand that we confess saying, yes, I'm guilty, so that now it can be dealt with. Because up until you confess, there's no dealing with it. I'd love to say some more about that, but I don't have the time. So I know this, by the way, we don't confess to men, we confess to God.
Amen.
We can confess to men, but we confess to God. And our confession to God is not all that's necessary, but it's the first step. Then there's a matter of being forgiven. But step one is confession. Step two, in verse 7, he shall recompense his trespass with the principle thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. And so there is the word recompense means to pay him back. And it's, again, it sounds very clearly that for the sake of this passage, that there's some kind of a cost. He did something, and he stole something from his neighbor, or he damaged something that belonged to his neighbor, and he did so in a way that he was guilty. And so let's say he stole $100 from his neighbor. God says, it's not too late to take care of this, but there's going to be a penalty. And you're going to pay him back $120 is what you're going to pay him back. And so there's the confession, and then there's the repayment. Now, I have good news for you. When you and I sinned against God, there was nothing we could do to pay for that sin. But Christ paid it all. The song goes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And your balance sheet in heaven has been completely equalized. All the debt has been paid off. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But in the camp, there was a need back then to make things right with people. And it goes along with what I said this morning. There's a need to make things right with people. And if you have, I don't see anything wrong with practicing this biblical principle and compensating someone when you've damaged them. So he says that they're going to give him back 120%. And then he says, if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto. So for some reason it's impossible to pay back either the one offended or his family. He says, let it be recompensed unto the Lord. I like this next phrase, even to the priest. Now, the priest was just a man. But we do understand this, our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this case, there was a plan. The cost had to be paid, and somebody was going to receive that payment. And if there was no other human being that could receive that payment, then it would go to the priest. The payment had to be made either way, and then the priest was going to get to keep it. And I think this is part of their economy, is one of the ways that the priest was provided for was by receiving offerings from the people. But here's the good news. Now it's taken care of. And things go back to normal. Amen?
Amen?
In the camp, there was a plan for this purification, which involved forgiveness and forgetting. I'm thinking, just came to my mind about disciplining children. When children do something wrong, you punish them, you forgive them, and now things are okay again. When you and I sin against God, God deals with our sin. We need to deal with our sin, but he deals with our sin. He forgives us. The devil doesn't like that. He's going to remind you, oh, you failed here, you failed there. Now, guess what? God forgave us. Amen?
Amen.
So we can have purity in the camp. And that's exactly what's happening here. Once this payment has been made, the forgiveness is effected, things go back to normal. If it wasn't for that, what happens? Well, there's an uncompensated offense. And then there's two, and then there's three, and then there's 50. And before you know it, the whole camp is just at each other's throats. So folks, God says, let's make this right. We're going to protect you, and we're going to purify you. Because God wants to do great things with the camp. He wants to use the camp to accomplish great things. Now, everything that they needed, God is providing them. He's given them an army. He's given them an order. He's given them assignments. He's giving them laws to prepare them, and he's getting them ready so he can use them to win the battle. And sadly, so sadly, after all that preparation, they didn't win the battle. In fact, they didn't want to fight the battle. And they didn't think God could give them the victory. I think God can give us the victory.
Amen.
I'm glad to be part of this camp. And it's a camp that God has provided. His presence is here. He purifies it. He protects it. I don't ever want to have to do it, but if the Lord would require it of us, there may be a day when we have to say a certain individual can't be part of the camp. And sadly, every single time I have done that, it's gone like this. The person that was being asked to leave the camp said, I don't care. Fine, that's whatever you want. I'll leave. Do they understand what they're saying? Folks, it's a privilege to be part of the camp. And, I was just thinking about this the other day. In fact, I wrote a couple of things in the back of the bulletin about it. Do you understand that our entire life of service for God centers around our church? It's the place where we worship. It's the place where we serve. It's the place where we give. It's the place where we send out missionaries. It's the place where we go soul winning. It all centers around the local church. Amen?
Amen.
And so to be removed from the camp is to be set aside from service. And folks, we just got one life. And then we step into eternity. And you may, I think about this once in a while, and you probably do as well, you may look around and say, where's everybody else? Why don't they find church important? Well, pray that they would, but folks, church is important.
Amen.
Well, why aren't more people faithful? I'm trying to think about it this way. Praise God, he let me be faithful. Amen? Praise God, he allows me to be faithful. And praise God, I can stand before him someday and I won't have to say, Lord, I'm sorry I quit going to church. I won't have to say, Lord, I'm sorry I quit going soul winning, or I quit going on visitation, or I quit tithing, or I quit sending out missionaries, or I quit preaching, or I quit praying, or I quit reading my Bible, or any of those things. Now, I'll have some things to apologize for, working on those. But praise the Lord for what he has done. Amen?
Amen?
It's a privilege to be part of the camp. It's a camp that's very important to God. He purchased it. He dwells in it. He protects it. And he purifies it. He's still doing that today in our church.